I think for me, being a believer is big, but everybody has their own journey. I think you really do have to do a lot of self-reflection and understand what is important to me. What are the things that I value? Why am I trying to achieve this? Is it an insecurity issue? Is it internal things? Did my father leave when I was young? Whatever those internal things that you deal with, trying to prove people wrong, you know, getting to the root cause of why you do what you do, I think is the biggest thing. Do some soul searching.
That's what I think it's all about, this is that emotion. What are we after and why are we after that emotion? What got you on? Most people don't think like that. Unless, like, I got onto it, I sold a business and I started seeing a therapist. He got me onto the, like, wait, you're not actually after money, you're after an emotion. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. I have Colton Paulus. Did I say your last name right? Should have asked you that first. Anyways, Colton, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I look forward to it.
So, Colton, we don't know each other a ton yet. We connect on LinkedIn. I just sent you a friend request or a connection request. So please accept me. I saw that you had a podcast, but if you can give us a 2 to 3 minute background of just who you are, and I would love to hear a little bit about your podcast as well.
Yeah. So my name is Colton Paulus. First, I'm a believer. Second, husband. Third, dad. And then fourth, I am the CEO of Anchored Tiny Homes, which is a franchise brand. We started corporately in Sacramento, building ADUs, tiny homes, or granny flats.
Connected on Facebook.
We connect on Facebook.
All your stuff from Facebook. As soon as you said tiny homes, I was like, anyways, sorry, Don.
Yeah. So we grew the brand. We started in 2019. It's a family business. It's me, my dad, and my brother. It's crazy to even say this, but we took it from zero. And then this year, 2023, well, not this year, it's January 3rd, but last year, we eclipsed 100 million in system wide sales. And then we sold 61 territories for franchising, which we launched only in April of 2023. Okay. So in the grind, you know, really, really enjoying this life and enjoying building this business. So excited to be on.
Awesome. Congrats. Does that feel good?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Take a second. Yeah. Again, we did another episode and we talked a little bit about you achieve these milestones and you just set the next one. But
that's right.
We don't often sit back and be like, $100 million in system. That's incredible. So congrats on that. The other thing I want to point out, I love when I say introduce yourself, and I try not to put too much parameters. Like, you know, I didn't mention business or anything, just to kind of see, I guess that's the ego, right? How we define ourselves. You had it very defined. It wasn't, I do this. It was, I'm a believer. I'm a father.
Yep.
Husband, I think.
That's right.
And then,
husband, father, and then mother. Business.
Okay, I got it. You have that defined. I assume you've already thought about that, right?
Yes.
Why have you already thought about that?
I think that life can get tricky, especially with achievers and us who, like, we just want to achieve things at the highest level. I played sports growing up, so it was always competitive. And if you don't win, you're nothing, right? And, you know, I had a hard journey in college. I drank a lot and just really was kind of a depressed person, right? And then I met the Lord when I was 22 years old, and he changed my life. And so I just want to keep that order. Even if we build a multi-billion dollar company, which that's the goal, I just want to understand that first, I'm a son of God, then I'm a father and a husband, right? And that's ultimately why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that's the most important thing. And if I lose that, I feel like that's why you hear the stories of billionaires or successful business owners committing suicide, right? And it's like, if we don't live our life understanding the order of things, we can put so much emphasis on the goals and the dreams and the success and lose the purpose behind why we're doing what we're doing.
So what would you say to somebody who hasn't defined that purpose yet, as far as advice on actionable steps, I guess, to then, I guess, self-reflect, or how do you find that purpose?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, being a believer is big, but everybody has their own journey. I think you really do have to do a lot of self-reflection and understand What is important to me? What are the things that I value? Why am I trying to achieve this? Is it an insecurity issue? Is it internal things? Did my father leave when I was young? Whatever those internal things that you deal with, trying to prove people wrong, you know, getting to the root cause of why you do what you do, I think is the biggest thing. Do some soul searching. Let's
pause on that, because that's what I think it's all about, is that emotion. What are we after and why are we after that emotion?
Totally.
What got you on? Most people don't think like that. Unless, like, I got onto it, I sold a business and I started seeing a therapist, and he got me onto the, like, wait, you're not actually after money, you're after an emotion. What emotion? It's like, no, I want money because of this or status or whatever. But he narrowed it down and cut all that BS out of there. And they got me to the emotion. I need to go external for somebody to help me.
Yeah.
What got you onto that? Like, how did you start that soul search?
It was similar. It wasn't a therapist, but basically he was a therapist. It was a mentor that I had. So when I first kind of changed my life around, I would meet with this guy by the name of Paul every week. And he knew, like, I was driven. And right when I was partying a lot, I started a t-shirt company, and then I started an app business, and then I got my insurance license. So I was always driven to achieve. And he just really asked the tough questions. Why do you want to do that? And not to get too deep on this podcast, but I think that's literally what this is about. I was actually molested as a kid. And so there was always this control thing I was going after, where, like, I lost control as a kid, right? From an older cousin of mine, actually. And I was always trying to gain this control. So drinking gave me that control. And then most recently, like, I just lost 95 pounds. And I realized, like, food was a crutch even recently that I was dealing with, where I was trying to gain control of something. And so it's a journey. I'm still working through this. But at the end of the day, I think it stems back from that childhood of that trauma happening, and then me trying to chase this control, status, and kind of achievement. So therefore, I didn't feel out of control, I guess, you know, because they say when you go through therapy, because I did the same thing, when you do get molested or you have trauma as a kid, your father leaves, whatever the case is, you have a lack of control. And a lot of times you chase that for your life, right? And so I think I was doing that my whole childhood and then adult years. And even recently, 7-8 months ago, when I started this weight loss journey, I realized it was still lingering. And it's like, okay, let's go tackle this thing.
That's awesome. And something I want to point out to the listeners is the amount of comfort you came out and said, I was molested. And it's like, you're over it. Like, you've, I mean, I'm sure it's still there, right? I don't want to say that you're not dealing with it, but, like, you say it with such confidence, you're not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Which, anyways, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that, because once you start being vocal with those traumas or struggles or whatever, it just, they slowly release the power that they have over you.
Totally. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The control thing, I think a lot of, you know, that's what the type A personalities, a lot of us struggle with that. I had the worst experience of my life the first time I did a psychedelic experience. I did it in like a group, like guided session.
Okay.
Like a couple, you sit there, you set intentions. I took mushrooms and I forgot who I was, and I lost all control. You know, and it was terrible. It was the worst experience ever. It, like, uprooted that I was so scared if I didn't have that control, that I'm like, holy shit, there's a lot of stuff that I need to go fix. And I felt like it was 95% of it was based around the I have to be in control due to insecurities.
That's right.
So
let's
jump into the tiny homes. Tell me a little bit about the background. Why'd you get into that? And how long ago did you guys start the company?
Yeah, so we started the business in 2019. What a little backstory on the company. So I had a marketing company at the time. My wife was pregnant with our first daughter. This was April or May of 2019. And because of my past, you know, I had a DUI, there was just things that went on. I actually started selling insurance for a local broker. And then the state of California actually sent me a letter. So they tentatively approved me. And then they sent me a letter 60 days later after they reviewed my file, saying that we don't believe this guy has changed. His past is still lingering. We're not going to give him an insurance license. So I was actually doing really well for like 30 to 60 days. I'm like, okay, this is the future. This is how I'm going to provide for my family. So I had this moment where I couldn't sell insurance anymore. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I was just looking for the next thing and kind of up late at night, researching different options. And I actually was on Facebook and I saw a tiny home competitor now. And they had an ad that they ran towards me. And I started thinking, because my dad's a general contractor. And then I started researching. I was up to like 2 a.m. that night, just like kind of obsessing over tiny homes. I didn't even know they existed. And so I went to my dad the next day. I said, hey, do you think we could build tiny homes? He said, yes. I took action right away. I threw up an ad on Facebook, actually not a paid ad, an ad on Facebook Marketplace. And I had 300 people reach out in 2 days. And so I was
like, build you a tiny home.
Yeah, I just posted photos of a tiny home on Marketplace, you know, kind of telling the story. My dad's a general contractor. We're getting into the tiny home business. If you're interested, send a message. And 300 people sent a message.
And you're in Sacramento? Is that the
Sacramento? Okay. Yeah.
But where are you in Sacramento?
I live in Folsom.
Okay. I was in Rancho Cordova. We went to Folsom Lake quite a bit.
Oh, nice. Yeah. My office is in Fair Oaks, so 5 minutes from Rancho.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great area, I think, for tiny homes. Everybody wants one in their backyard or, you know, their larger properties compared to spend a lot of time in Southern California. I think that's right. A better market for it.
Yeah.
How did you franchise? I mean, what to explain the franchise model? Because obviously, you know, I'm still very new into franchising, but what is the, tell me about what the franchise opportunity is for tiny homes.
Yeah, so it wasn't like an aha moment. What happened was, so 2019, we launched with Tiny Homes on Wheels. So that's how this whole thing started. In the end of 2020, there was laws in California that were passed that basically said every residential lot in the state of California has to allow ADUs or accessory dwelling units, which is basically a tiny home built on a foundation in a backyard. And so we started getting clients reaching out. We weren't building ADUs at the time, but we started getting clients reaching out every week saying, hey, do you build ADUs? Do you build ADUs? And finally, I was the only sales guy at the time. I just told a client, yeah, we build ADUs. And so I ended up meeting with them. I went to their house. We knew how to bid stuff. So I had the upper hand with my dad because he's a general contractor. So we met with a couple people and we ended up selling 2 ADUs our first month. And then the success was kind of so drastic right out of the gate. We started running ads that we pivoted fully away from tiny homes on wheels. And we just specialize in ADUs. So I had to give that context. And then what happened was, is I actually met with a client. I was in the Bay Area. This was June or July of 2021. And he was an investor. He loved the business. He was like obsessed with what we were doing. He's like, hey, I don't think anybody has franchised this. He was like a franchise broker. He's been in the industry 20, 25 years. He's like, I think you guys should really think about franchising this concept. So again, I started researching like crazy over the next 3-4 weeks, learning everything I could about franchising. And then we made a decision to franchise. We paid a company by the name of Franchise Marketing Systems like $35,000 to do the FDD and kind of get us all set up, build the website. And so that was the end of 2021. And then 2022, we actually connected with Raintree. I don't know if you know who they are, but they're an FSO.
Okay.
And that's when things really took off.
Which is FSO is a franchise broker.
For franchise sales organization. Yes. Yep. That's right.
That came up with another one. I'm like, pause. Not everybody knows the lingo. An FDD franchise disclosure document.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Sorry. I just say things like everybody knows.
I'm starting to understand it. You know, I've been in franchising like for 2 years, but I hear all of those at the first. I was like, what the hell are you guys talking about? What are all these acronyms, these franchise acronyms? So that was 2022. And then you started selling franchises, you said mid-2023, and you guys finished the year with 60.
I had a friend I went to college with. So we sold one territory in Salt Lake City in November of 2022. And that was our first franchise. And then we didn't sell another one till April of 2023.
So it's kind of territory work.
So it's basically a population. So we do 300,000 people in one territory.
Okay.
And then we have this mapping software that we use, where if people are interested, you know, we'll send them the maps and then they get to come out to confirmation day and see kind of which territories they're interested in and if it's a good fit.
Okay. So I buy a franchise. I'm about 30 minutes south of Lake.
Okay. Yeah.
I get my 300,000 population, which is about half of Utah County, which is yes. Again. And then I get to use your brand. I mean, yeah, kind of walk me through. This is a little foreign. I'm in food franchising, right?
That's
right. So it's like, yep. I'll give you the cookie and the brand and help you out with that. But what's the, you guys are helping me market to clients, find clients, and then do you do a royalty or a flat fee? How does the whole structure work?
Yeah. So basically what we do is obviously they get the brand, they get access to our business model, right? So everything we do from start to finish with design, permitting, and construction, they get kind of our business in a box, yep. But we actually handle all of the lead generation for them. So we're kind of the marketing company behind each location. We do all of their paid media, Facebook, Instagram, Google. And then we have a call center where we book appointments on our franchisee's calendar. And then from the sale, they have to manage the job, obviously.
Okay. And these are general contractors then?
Yeah. Yes and no. They partner with generals sometimes. Okay. They're not always generals themselves. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. That's super cool. So nobody else is doing this. I mean, I haven't heard of that. And that's correct. I knew a buddy out here in Utah, forgot the name of his business, but it's not a franchise. He just does tiny homes and he crushes with it.
It's
usually that first person I had to break into the franchising. And because I'm sure so many other people look at this like, oh, that's a cool idea.
That's right.
Where do I start? And you're like, boom, here's
a
good model. It worked for me. It's probably going to work for you. Let me walk through it.
That's right.
What triggered the selling one franchise in November 2022 to selling 60 in the latter half of 2020?
So we went with Raintree. So, you know, we didn't know what we don't know. We had no clue how to get leads, no clue what a broker was. I mean, I literally had no idea what I was doing. So we ended up connecting with the Raintree team. In April is when we launched, and we started doing some digital ads, partnering with some brokers, and really the brand, you know, because our top line revenue is so high. So we show in our franchise disclosure document for 2022, 49 million in sales. So a lot of people were really interested in the brand.
Break that down. That's 49 million in sales in a territory of roughly 300,000 population.
No, that is more than one territory. So so a lot of people buy 3, 4, 5 territories. You know, but that's about 21 territories.
Okay. Because you did 100 million across the entire system. What would the tiny home sell for? So how many tiny homes is that?
So it's about $200,000 for a tiny home. And we sell anywhere from 100,000, 90,000 up to 400.
So 100 million divided by 200,000. How many tiny homes did you guys
have? I have the data. I can pull it up on a spreadsheet, but
this is just me getting sidetracked off the topic of the podcast because I'm super interested in this business. That's really cool. We don't need to worry about that. So,
it was about 500. I think it was like 520, something like that.
Okay. So jumping back, I guess more on the topic of the joy and fulfillment. What gives you joy and fulfillment? What is success to you?
I think success to me is becoming all that I was created to become. And so for me, that means being a great husband, a great father, you know, getting healthy. Recently, I've embarked on this journey. I feel like that's a huge component to my mental health, spiritual health, just overall well-being. So I would say becoming the highest version of who I was created to be, right? And everybody has their own story. Not everybody's meant to be an entrepreneur, right? But you do have to figure out what you're called to do, what you're created to do, and become the best version of yourself. So I think that is my version of success.
So you answered that almost identically to introduce yourself. You went to the same four topics, and my faith, father, husband, and business.
Yeah,
which is awesome because there's such clarity in what you're saying. It's not like, oh, I'm kind of just doing it to do it. It's I'm doing this because this is who I am. I mean, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and who I am. And that was the same answer, which I feel like it should be.
Totally.
And what it's, I shouldn't say should be. I feel like that's the way to go, because entrepreneurship is hard and it's stressful. And if you don't have that defined and you're just after a little bit more money or higher revenues, you get your teeth knocked in and it's not enough to keep going.
Totally.
And then you jump back into that. Another thing, because I just read a Facebook post, I think for your 2024 goals, you said we did $100 million in offline revenue.
Yep.
And you set your goal, which remind me what your goal was for this year.
So we want to do corporately, we call it, which is basically company owned outlets. Uh-huh. We want to do 150 million. So we want to grow from, I think it was 97 million. We only had 3.5 million in franchise sales because we're so new. So we want to grow the corporate brand to 150. And then our goal is to get our franchisees up and rolling to do 100 million total.
Awesome. And the reason I'm asking it that is a lot of people shy away from finances. And what I really love, again, you haven't answered any of that. Who are you? Why are you doing? Nothing has to do with money. And I think that's probably why you're a little bit more comfortable talking about finances, because it's just a number. How did you, and I think that's very helpful for other business owners to see, not just, oh, I feel like I want to grow my business 100% or I want to grow bigger. You're very transparent with goals, what you've achieved and where you're going. Where did that come from?
I would say it actually came from, so like I've been really driven my whole life. And if I didn't hone in the reason why, I feel like I would have been the guy that worked from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m., had no life, threw everything away because I was so driven. And so I had to put kind of a cap on hours, a cap on, you know, what I was going to give to my family, all this different stuff. So I think for some reason, it just was an internal thing. I believe I was created to build something. I've thought of ideas from the age of 10, 11, 12, just different things I wanted to do. You know, I think it's a competitive thing just from my childhood, sports, wanting to win. So I can't really pinpoint it to one thing, but I do know I'm really driven. I have to kind of hone in the hours I'm working, the time I'm working, and not do this whole performance thing.
Yeah.
You know, early on, I'm like, if I don't get to the office before everyone, I'm losing. And it's like, I had to understand, no, that's not true, right? Like, you're the owner, let's step back. You're working all the time in your mind, right? So you have to understand that spending time with your family, cooking breakfast, these things matter more than working all the time.
Yep. I really like that. Was there a difficulty in adopting that mindset? I think for me or from other entrepreneurs, I see there is some guilt. And like, if I'm not the hardest worker, then there's some guilt attached. Like, I have to lead by example. But but why? Like, why work hard if it's not for my family? And why would I work hard to be away from my family? Like, that doesn't really make sense.
That's right. Yeah. Well, so I'm actually part of the Arete group. You might have heard of it, but a guy by the name of Ed Milet, he did a call the other week and he said, he's like, let's not forget why we became entrepreneurs. It was to create freedom. And he's like, you guys are going to build a $1 billion company and you're still going to be literally like in this game and not creating freedom in your life. So I believe in working hard. I believe in putting in more hours than people. All of that stuff is true. But on the flip side, the reason we all became entrepreneurs was to create financial freedom for our life, for our families, and for generations of our families. So I think if we forget that, right, we can lose the whole purpose behind why we became entrepreneurs in the first place.
And you're CEO of the company, correct?
Yeah.
But again, CEO is ranked number 4 of your list. Do you have any examples of how you put any of the other 3 above being a CEO? Because you think a CEO, $100 million revenue company, like that's a super big deal. You have to pour your heart and soul, yada, yada, yada. But again, that was ranked number 4. So do you have any examples of how you're putting these other 3 things before being a CEO?
Yeah, I would say, so one thing me, my wife and kids do every year, we take 4 extended trips. So we take a 7 to 10 day vacation 4 times a year. So I'm actually taking at least 4 weeks off per year where we get away, you know, we kind of vision together, whatever, go to the beach, go to the snow. So that is one thing that I'm really, really purposeful about, is spending quality time with the family. And then every day I have routine. So I recently switched up, you know, going to the gym, but I believe in personally my spiritual life, I read the word in the morning before I start my day. So that's the first thing I do. I believe in kind of giving God my first portion of my day, just so that, you know, getting my priorities straight, as you mentioned earlier, right? Because, you know, it's so easy to just click this phone and there's 14 emails and 27 text messages to respond. But it's like, no, let's get grounded. Let's get our head straight in the morning. And then we can go on offense instead of being on defense all the time. So I think those would be the biggest two things that I do.
Awesome. And then you also mentioned breakfast with the family, which again, like symbolically, subconsciously, you're following your order. I wake up, religion first, faith first, God first. And yeah. Then you go into family second, right? With if you're making breakfast. And I think whether we're conscious or not, that's telling your brains like that is putting the priority. Because what's hard is to say, I value my health or I value whatever, and then you don't do it and you just eat up yourself all day. Like,
that's right.
Do I not have self-will or self-determination? Like, I'm telling myself I want to be healthier or I want to be more religious or more spiritual, but I'm not doing it. So,
that's right.
And that can cause a very negative, I guess, downspin in mental health. So I like that you're prioritizing that.
Well, that's how, not to cut you off, but I think that's what creates people not being self-confident is when they don't keep the promises they make to themselves, right? So when you say, hey, I want to get healthy. And I did this for 4 years. I was building this business. I was kind of in the grind. I didn't know how to kind of balance everything. And recently I just realized how important health was. I believe I can actually do more in 6 to 8 hours a day than working a 12-hour day if I'm physically fit, if I'm mentally there, and if I'm locked in. I believe I can be more purposeful in a shorter amount of time than working 12 to 14 hours.
It's sharpening the axe. You know, take fewer swings and more time sharpening. And I am 1,000% a believer. I did the same thing. I've been kind of going through lost about 110 pounds in the last 18 months. Wow. I got up to 310 pounds because business, you know, business was the most important thing. It's like, well, if I'm dead, who cares about my business?
But that's right.
Heart attack.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's, I like that. And the other thing I wanted to point out, because you're taking several breaks per year.
Yep.
How do you do that without your business dying? Because what we tell ourselves is we're so important as the head of our business is that nobody else can do what we're doing. And if we leave, the business will fall apart, which is pretty egotistic. To think that like the business can't run without us. How do you adopt that mindset to be like, no, I'm actually not needed. I'm not as important, yep. I guess, as I think I am.
Well, I think I would be lying to the audience if I acted like the first couple of years I did that. Last year was the first year we made a decision to take 4 family trips. So really 2023 was the first year we did that. And we've built, you know, a great leadership team. So like I mentioned earlier, it's myself, my dad, my brother. We have a vice president of sales and operations. We have kind of directors over every area of the company. So now we really have a legit infrastructure in place where I can step away. And, you know, if I come up with 2 ideas on the trip, just from thinking, and that's actually more important than me being here.
Yeah. Which I do, because when you're not in the busy work, your mind's able to be creative and you come up with those bigger working on the business rather than in the business. I read a book in college, 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Harris. Mm-hmm. And again, that's crazy. How are you only going to work 4 hours a week? And he goes, I was completely convinced when I went on a trip that my business was going to fail, but I went to worst case scenario and I accepted that it was going to fail. And then it arrived when I was gone. And wow. I'd be like, holy crap. And I had that experience. It was 2 years ago. The first time it was actually that first psychedelic experience that the day after I had that experience, I bought a flight to Mexico. Cause my family just went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. My wife and my 3 kids for a month. And I was going to join them I was opening up like 3 stores, 3 franchises. And I was like, I can't leave. And then I had that experience. And I'm like, nothing matters if I'm not with my family. And immediately I took a whole month off. And I did that twice that year.
Wow.
And I realized same thing. It's like, I just kind of had to do it. I had to do the Tim Ferriss. I'm like, I'm just going to like go and just see what the hell happens.
Yep.
It thrived. Like, I was like, crap, I think I was getting in people's way. So
yeah.
Just taking that leap of faith. Anyways, that's super awesome that you're doing that.
Well, it's like, so Jeff, I listened to an interview of Jeff Bezos, and he said, he's like, early on in the journey, I realized I get paid billions of dollars to make three good decisions a quarter. That's it. I don't need to do much else. I just make three good decisions, well, great decisions every quarter that move the company forward.
And that's really going back to what you were saying before, like you don't need to work those 12 hours. You just, when you are working, you need to be effective. And if your body's not right, your hormones aren't right, your mind's not going to be thinking, you don't have the energy levels. So big believer in that. Last question for you, Colton. What is the legacy that you want to leave behind?
I want to leave a legacy of where people really believe that I believed in them, I cared for them, and that they could follow, you know, what I was doing because I had such a strong belief in both them and then the vision I was going after. So I think I would hate to build a successful business and nobody at least admired what we did or cared about what we did, and that they didn't at least look to me to say, hey, he cared about people, he did right by people, and he wanted to do the right thing.
I love it. Really focused on helping other people.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Colton, how do your listeners connect with you?
So right now, just social media. So you can find everything if you just go to, it's just at Colton Paulus. So C-O-L-T-O-N and then P-A-U-L-H-U-S. You can find everything from there.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your experience with us.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Bennett. I appreciate it.